You all right? Are we all right?
Kashmir?
Is that your idea of making a contribution?
We haven't even started. We haven't even gotten to the terms yet.
You're this close to losing that.
Okay, I don't even understand what happened in there. What did I say?
You called his niece a whore.
A very cheap one.
What? She's seven.
I'm currently confined to bed with a wicked case.
No, don't tell me that.
Welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
I mean, really, Douglas? Did we need that extra syllable, extra just oomph
hey,
that
guys,
you gave it there?
Guys, how did you celebrate Worldwide Women's Day? What did you do?
I read an email about it from the work. That's how I celebrated it. What did you do, Damian?
I molested a couple of women. And it's their day. What else was I going to do?
Andrew.
Isn't that what it's for?
What did you do?
Me and my fellow co-workers mocked the only woman in our office for the day.
Wow.
I think Damian wins.
I won twice. Look, guys, it's only technically rape until she says yes, and then it's no longer.
It doesn't matter what she actually says yes to.
It doesn't matter, right?
You could ask her, are you a woman, and she says yes.
As
and
long
all
as
of
there's
sudden,
a yes,
yeah, there's
at
a yes.
Some point.
All right, we're going too far. Okay. Going too far. I'm calling it. We're going too far. So we're going to cut that off right there. And we're
it's not Women's
to
Day anymore. It's no Men's Day. Well, Men's Year. Pretty sure that's how it works.
Well, that would make sense. If women get one day, we have to get the rest.
What else? Yeah. Like, we gave them a day. What more do they want? Psh, yeah. So greedy.
So Damian, yeah. What have you been watching this week?
This week has been... I think I might have transformed into corporate Douglas this week. I watched terrible TV shows and not much else. This week has been a dreadful week. I could talk about some movies that we've talked about before, but I don't see the point because they're all recent movies. I saw Zero Dark Thirty in the correct aspect ratio, finally. That movie's fantastic. It's even better on my TV and with my speakers than it was at Carib. I think she was robbed. I don't think... although I haven't seen Silver Linings Playbook, so I don't know if that performance
awesome.
Was better than her performance, but I doubt it very much.
Jennifer Lawrence is the greatest. Don't you dare doubt her.
I agree. I saw her in Winter's Bone, and then ever since then she's come in just straight garbage until Silver Linings. And she's going to be in garbage again this year.
Guess who has it on their list? And it's going to make $1 billion.
I don't think so.
Yes, I think so.
People saw that first movie.
Yes, and they loved it.
No one loved that first movie.
For some
actually,
reason,
a lot of people love that movie.
No, people love the books and they love lying to themselves. No one likes those books. It's the same thing with Twilight. Although, I don't know. What else? We went out and we saw a Jamaican play.
Oh, no, don't. I don't want to even hear about that.
Shibada wins the lottery. Some shit. I don't know what the name is. However, I went to the Little Theater for the first time in 100 years or something. It looks exactly the same. And that was really depressing. I went in there, there were folded chairs and that terrible stage, and that was it. And my mother did something that this is why I love her. About 15 minutes in, my mother turned to me and said, I think we made a mistake, and we left. I was enjoying it, and she didn't laugh even once. But I didn't even have to prompt her. I didn't even go, like I wasn't sighing heavily or anything like that. I was just sitting there And my mother tells me on the show, I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, this isn't good. And we just left. That was pretty good.
You see, there lies...
Cinema is still terrible.
But that's not cinema, Damien. That's a lie. Therein lies a big difference. If it was me with my family, I would be the one sitting down going, this is terrible. I'd sit through the whole of it. We'd leave, and then I'd have to hear the rest of my family just going on about how they loved it. And I'd just sit there quietly to myself, knowing that they're wrong.
My mother knows that the only reason I was there was for her. She wanted someone to go with her, and I said, all right, fine. And I sat there, and I kept myself quiet. And just out of I thought I was going to have to put up with another 18 or 19 hours. I don't know how long these things last. And she just tapped, like, people were still coming in to sit down, and my mother just went, no. And we left. That was pretty good. I also saw a football match this week.
I think I saw the same one that you saw.
Football match. And I saw, for the first time in football history, I saw a ref give goal card. I didn't know that referees were able to just appoint goals to teams. I thought it was a red card, but as it turns out, it was a, here's a 2 free goals card.
fuck you guys.
But can I tell you, I do believe that that is the first time I have ever seen a ref give a decision against Manchester United.
That's bullshit, guys. Wow. Let's not go there.
This is how hilarious that call was. If that call were made, say, in Real Madrid, Fergie would have strangled the ref to death. He'd be dead now. But because the call was made at Manchester United, he could only get angry and start. Like, nothing has happened to this referee because it was at Manchester United. Now, Douglas, I know a lot of our listeners might not love football or follow it as much, but let me explain how it works. If you take off one player, you still have 10 left. And if you have home advantage and are one goal up, and you have 10 men on the field with 30 minutes to play, it shouldn't be that daunting a task to prevent a team from scoring, correct? What you could do is put all 10 men behind the ball.
But truthfully, you want me to tell you something, but
the ref,
though?
No, the ref gave Andrew,
how
two
did you,
free goals.
How did you feel about that?
It's 2 free goals.
Did you feel that you should have won?
Of course he does. That's why he's wearing that shirt.
Because he's a fan. I want to know how much of a fan he is. Did you believe that you should have won?
Do you mean that we were cheated out of a result? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, that is exactly what he's asking.
No, we weren't. The red card was... was correct. It was correct.
No, it was
Nani.
No.
Nani was a fucking asshole. Right?
That is not a red card in any sport.
I don't know. That looked yellowish to me.
That is a yellow card.
Yeah. And Mourinho had the good sense of saying, look, there's a man off. I want that space taken up now. And we were ruined because of it.
Do you really think they beat you because of the red card?
I think it contributed heavily. I don't think Mourinho would have done that Modric move if we had 11 men on the field.
He was going to bring on Benzema.
Yeah, of course. Right. But the truth of the matter is, Andrew, that that game should have ended about 4-1. You got so many great chances. You were gifted goals. And you just threw them away.
And there was our own goal.
And there was
that one was hilarious. Yes. Holy balls.
There's a match tomorrow that Douglas and I will talk about.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. But that match is pointless. The match doesn't change anything. You guys have won the league and you just got your ass kicked right out of the Champions League. Which was hilarious to watch. I like seeing Man U fans angry because they're so entitled to things that don't even make sense. And when they lose, just the look on their faces, right? Like, they just can't, it just doesn't seem to register for a while. Until Fergie starts complaining, no Manu fan, really. They even, when they lose, they even think that they'll win. They're like, no, we won, right? We're still going through to the next round, right? Didn't really, it's not a thing.
That was a fever dream, right? We all had the same dream at the same time. The real match is happening in an hour.
Right.
Right.
And then they start picking on other smaller teams, which I think is just, it's just unfair. Usain Bolt doesn't laugh after sore people than him. You guys shouldn't do that either.
Anyways, Douglas, what have you been watching? Because I don't want to hear any more of Damien's jabble. Oh,
well, Corporate Douglas did kick in. However, I must say that while I'm at the office, I have a very good location, a good spot, because right in front of me is a fairly large television screen. And on this television screen during the week, if there is, you know, any sport playing, I have to watch it because I'm right in front of it.
Why not?
So I saw a match this week. I think it was a Manchester United match.
No, I don't think they played this week.
Against a side, one of their old compatriots, actually. Right. Cristiano Ronaldo.
There's a Madrid.
This side is called Cristiano Ronaldo. Let me get it straight.
Cristiano Ronaldo, you. Did you not know that?
It's Ronaldo and the Madridians. The real Ronaldo.
Anyways.
Yeah, motherfucker.
What have you been watching, Douglas?
I started telling you what I was watching, but you weren't. You clearly is not listening. Right.
Or this This is me prompting an edit point.
I like how this episode is going to be just trailers and review. Let me know what you've been watching.
None at all. So, Andrew, I have literally watched nothing this week. I have just watched the television shows that we all love to watch, namely Justified, The Walking Dead.
I've seen two episodes.
The last episode of The Walking Dead was so good. I was so happy to see that guy back.
Is it done? Is Walking Dead finished?
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah, never mind.
No, it's not.
I want
he,
to...
Yeah, he... Lenny James is very good. I love Lenny James.
Ooh, spoilers. I don't care.
I don't think most people know who that is, so they'd have to Google it.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah, so I've just really been watching those types of things. What else did I watch? I watched nothing.
Nothing? I don't know what happened this week. Like, football took up 2 days, and I don't know. I just watched terrible TV shows.
Ooh, I just finished watching the second episode of Golden Boy. Andrew, have you seen this episode?
Yes, and it's the episode that made me decide I don't have to watch this show anymore.
Yeah, that show, that episode was not good. And it kind of is foreboding. It tells of the future. It tells of how bad this TV show is going to be. However, at the end of the show, I knew that I would still be sticking with it. Yeah. So for the next at least 2 or 3 weeks, you will probably be hearing me speak of this show with disdain and disgust until I finally give up and throw in the towel. So, Andrew, please speak to us. Tell us what you have been watching.
One quick thing. If you guys like Dave Attell, for the two people that will register with.
Dave Attell is awesome.
He has a show called My Old Porn, which is pretty amazing. It's been going on for a while now. It's pretty good. If you guys get a chance to watch it, you should watch it. It's real. He gets comedians on, and he talks about his old porn and some other things, and it's really pretty funny. They don't show any other porn, but that too is part
is it
of the reason
like
why it's funny.
A talk show almost?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty good.
I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
Yeah, I have. Now that you say it, I have heard of it. But you know what? I used to kind of enjoy every once in a while whenever I actually did venture into that part of the cable late at night was his show on Comedy Central, Up All Night with Dave Attell or something like that. I used to, at first, I remember when I first caught onto it, I was like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But something about him just grew on me. Yeah. And I had a roommate in university who loved him and played me some of his stand up, and I was like, yes. Oh,
God, Dave Attell is amazing.
I don't think I've ever heard him do stand up.
Oh, he's good.
Part of your life is missing. Type Dave Attell into Google, into YouTube, and you'll be smiling in like under 30 seconds. He's like some of the the first time I heard some of his jokes, I'm like, there's no way people allow him to stand on stage and tell these jokes. Someone must have stabbed this guy at some point, but he's really good. And even though some of his jokes can be seen as offensive, he's so much fun. It doesn't seem personal. It doesn't have any hate behind it. He's just real funny, and he finds ways to laugh at absolutely everybody, including dinosaurs. It's pretty good. So, Andrew Robinson, since you're the only one that has actually watched anything this week, what have you seen?
I started going through a lot of films. I decided I wanted to watch some films by John Ford, this famous filmmaker. And this week I saw The Grapes of Wrath.
Wait, that's not the marathon that you're writing about on your website.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I finished the Cassavetes, and I've decided to start John Ford.
Didn't he make Cars or something?
That's Tom Ford. He's a simple bastard.
But... No.
Nope. That's enough of you. Andrew Robinson. Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath. That sounds like name of some sort of Ford model. Yeah, Ford model Grapes of
Wrath.
Right,
the Ford Grapes of Wrath.
G-O-W. Yeah. Yeah. Like
everyone comes with a Henry Fonda in the back. He stabs people.
I think we've taken this.
No, Andrew, that's not funny.
Oh, no, it's not. thanks for the clarification, Douglas Robinson.
I'm going to guess Douglas hasn't seen this movie.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've watched any of his movies.
Damien, have you seen this one?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of it?
From what I remember, it was okay. Part of that was... You know, that was the time I was listening to a lot of film spotting, and they kind of love him, and the internet loves this movie a lot, but I do not. I do not share their sentiment, and this is not one of the movies where I think I'm wrong. I think the internet is wrong about
I'm
this
so
movie.
Happy I'm not alone. I was afraid I was going wrong. To start stepping on Damien's toes. I wasn't afraid of the internet. Damien, I'm afraid of.
I think they're wrong. I don't think the movie's that great. In fact, I don't think it's great at all.
You see, there are a couple of things in the movie which I kind of give it credit for, because this is kind of one of those movies where when they talk about films that discuss the depression and how the depression affected America and the people, this is one of the movies that always come up. And there are a few scenes in here where you can see how it really affected the country. And I like it for that. Like, even at the beginning when he comes back to his family's farm and he sees all the farms are gone, and the guy's telling him the story of how the big businesses came in and ran everyone off, and just the visual aspect to that I like a lot. There's another scene later on while they're driving across country to get to California that the guy walks into a gas station, like a diner or something, and he wants to buy a loaf of bread. He can't afford to buy a sandwich or what they would normally would serve. He's like, can you just sell me a loaf of bread? And then he asks him, like, they're saying it's a 15-cent loaf of bread, and he's like, can you just cut it to a 10-cent for me? And even at that point, you start to see it gives you a slightly optimistic view of it every once in a while, where you see the people who are willing to help. Where even in that scene, you see how there are two children who come into the diner and they kind of start looking at all of the candy, and the woman lies to the guy when he asks how much the candy costs. She's like, yeah, it's a penny for two. And he's just like, awesome, here, children, enjoy your candy. And those scenes I liked a lot. I mean, I like anything with Henry Fonda, I find, but overall, the movie as a whole, I didn't quite enjoy it while I was watching it. I didn't quite get enough out of it to say that it's a movie that I appreciated at the level that I feel a movie with this high, I can't even think the correct word to say, the notoriety around this movie. Because this is, I think, one of the Best Picture nominees of that year, which lost out to Hitchcock's Rebecca. So, yeah, I mean, once again, just happy that I'm not alone in my positioning on this film.
I remember this film and there's another film that I was watching around that time that the internet loves and I don't like at all. Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner is another one that people talk about with, I mean, a lot of praise, and I think they're wrong. I don't agree. And Grapes of Wrath is on. I don't know. Maybe there's something that I don't appreciate because I'm not a true film connoisseur. Slash asshole, but I don't know. I don't know.
So the only other movie I'm going to talk about this week, I went out and I watched my first $100 million movie.
Yep.
Identity Thief. Am I allowed to lie to you guys? Is this how this works?
You can. Just as long as you correct that lie by the end of the year.
No, we don't have
to call Joel about this.
No, he doesn't need to correct anything. What he gives now stands. And if we then subsequently go and discover that he has lied about it,
right,
that is when it goes to Joel. It doesn't even go to Joel.
Right. We decide ourselves.
And we say that it gets nothing. He gets nothing from it. And only if he would like to appeal, then right, does it go to Joel.
I have a question. Slight question of the rules. Because as we know, and we do this with movies all the while, we change our minds on them. Is there the possibility of me saying X today, and then in December me revisiting and saying Y?
Of course you can.
No.
Does the score change to Y?
It only goes downward. No, not upward.
We are not the commissioner. As long as you can defend your position come the end of the year, say whatever you feel like. Just know that if this has to go to Joel, you're already in trouble.
Well, I can tell you guys that this movie is hot garbage. I sat in a theater. I don't even know how long this movie was. I think it's 2 hours. It might be shorter. And I don't think I really laughed once.
Oh, God.
Wow.
But that trailer, there was funny things in the trailer.
That trailer made the movie look good.
And the thing is, I wanted to like the movie because Seth Gordon is a director who I want to like what he brings out. I mean, he gave us the King of Kong. He gave us Horrible Bosses. This movie, it seemed like the perfect follow-up to Horrible Bosses. Like he was, but it just didn't work at all. There was no Colin Farrell to give us that extra oomph that it needed, or Motherfucker Jones.
No, he said it's hot garbage.
So this is a one rating.
A one.
All right, fair enough. I don't need to watch it then.
We don't have to ask what grade did it got.
It can't get a zero, so it gets a one.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Still 25 million already in the bank. Stars are never sleeping. Dead ones and the living. We live closer to the earth, never to the heavens. The stars are never far away. Stars are out. So the first trailer this week I wanted to talk about is the first trailer for Michael Winterbottom's next film, Look of Love, starring Steve Coogan.
Mr. Raymond, you've been called the king of the keyhole shows.
I like to think of myself as the king of the glamour shows. It is such a good night to
kiss. It is such a good night. Bravo. For the future.
Would you say everything you touch turns to gold?
Not everything, but enough.
My name's Paul Raymond. Welcome to my world of erotica. Please do come along. You shan't be disappointed.
Damien, this is one of the movies you've been looking forward to this year. What do you think of the trailer?
I think the trailer is amazing. I don't know. I think the trailer is pretty good. Steve Coogan looks like it's brilliant. The problem, though, is that at the end of the trailer, there are some words on the screen. And the words do not fill me with anticipation. The words were something like fantastic performances. So it's not even talking about the quality of the movie. It's essentially saying, if you watch this for Steve Coogan, you will like this movie. Otherwise, you probably want to ignore everything else. I can see where this movie won't be good. But I still really, really want to watch. The trailer did its job for the most part. It makes the movie look interesting. And hopefully the story that it tells is equally as interesting. But I can see where this can go very poorly. But cautiously optimistic, I think, is where I'm headed. Yeah. Douglas Robinson.
Damien White.
Yes.
This trailer, as you saw, correctly pointed out initially, is amazing. However, I have some... I have some
ignore
misgivings.
Those voices that are telling you bad things about the trailer.
This trailer,
yes,
really does a good job of showing how good the performances are and how exciting the content could be.
And how ridiculous that mustache is.
Yes. How ridiculous everything is. But you see, the thing about this is a true story. And I've seen true stories before. I've seen biopics, right? There are a lot of them. And you have to work very hard to get them right. A lot of people do get them right. But it's very hard to. And it's very easy to fall into, I'll just call it the Daniel Day-Lewis trap. It's very easy to
have
fall into.
Have you seen
that
Lincoln?
Trap. No, I haven't seen Lincoln yet.
And don't you dare say that
name.
He is
a
treasure.
Stop. I am not putting down Lincoln.
Right.
I actually...
That wasn't a pejorative.
Yeah.
What you're going to do is point the camera at this amazing
thank
actor.
You. Thank you.
And ignore writing a real movie. Let's go, oh, he looks fine. This is he acted well. And now let us move on.
Yes. You see, Damien got what I was saying.
Right.
Actually,
it's
while I have heard bad things about Lincoln, I still look forward to that movie. Right.
Okay, I love
I
that
not
movie.
Watched it and I hope that I love it.
It's the same thing with J. Edgar. Leo did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie, still bad.
Yeah. So, what I imagine from this movie, based on the trailer that I've seen, because the trailer shows you that this movie really spans almost his whole life. It spans a long time, or it appears to.
Right. His daughter grows up in the span of this movie.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So when you have a movie like that where you have to essentially spread yourself so thin, this problem tends to crop up. And I hope, for my sake, for all of our sakes, because I think we are all big fans of Steve Coogan. I saw another face in that trailer who I worship, which is Stephen Fry.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to watch this movie.
Winterbottom.
But I really do believe that this is probably going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Andrew?
I don't think I've seen a Winterbottom film that I don't like.
Challenge accepted.
What's that movie? A film with me in it, wasn't that his movie?
Fuck.
No, that wasn't him. At least I don't think that was him.
Oh, he also, this makes sense. Michael Winterbottom also directed 24 Hour Party People, which starred Coogan.
Yeah, he has Steve Coogan in a lot of his movies. Yeah. Actually, one that I want to see, which has him and Bryden in it, A Cock and Bull Story, looks hilarious.
Tristram Shandy? I really wanted to watch that movie.
Again, but anyways, onto this trailer. I very much agree with Damien, but just add around 5,000 points because this movie looks highly interesting.
Christ. I just realized you did The Killer Inside Me. I like that movie though.
You guys are wrong as shit.
I actually turned that on earlier tonight. It's on Netflix and I watched like the first 10 minutes of it. Still looks kind of good to me. It starts really quickly though. Like,
oh no! Oh no, that's not the same movie. A Mighty Heart? No, I think
that's the one with Angelina Jolie. I've never seen that one.
I'm absolutely correct. This movie is terrible. Yep. No, I'm thinking of the right one. It's bad.
Never seen that one. I want to watch it. Okay. But yeah, this trailer makes the movie look very interesting. I like that last bit where he's just like, name me someone who hasn't ever had a wank. He's like, Mother Teresa. You're like, fuck you.
Oh my god, he directed... I know this movie. This movie's bad. Tim Robbins and the girl from...
I apologize for mentioning the director in superlative.
What's the movie with Tom Cruise and it has a futuristic computer? And Steven Spielberg directed it. And it's
Minority Report?
Minority Report. Mm-hmm. You remember the precog, I think they call them, from... Girl, yeah. Yeah, she's in this movie as well. This movie is terrible.
It's called movie.
Code 46.
Oh. Code 46.
A futuristic brief encounter, a love story in which the romance is doomed by genetic incompatibility.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Wow. It was horrid. I don't know why, but I remember sitting down in this very room... Mm-hmm. And actually putting myself through the whole movie and the whole way thinking, why am I still watching this? And you know why? It's because Tim Robbins was in it and I love him to death.
Sorry, I think next week we're going to talk about a Michael Winterbottom film.
No.
Challenge not accepted.
I think that's what's going to happen.
White quits. Taking a leave of absence.
But anyways, the next trailer I want to talk about is for the new Noah Baumbach film starring Greta Gerwig. She helped write the movie. It's called Frances Ha.
Have you ever done where you play fight?
I don't want to.
Oh, it's super fun.
I know when to go.
Oh my god, stop it! Damn it! Oh, sorry, you have to like fight back. Stop it! I said stop! Oh, sorry.
Douglas, you're our resident Greta Gerwig fangirl.
Not just Greta Gerwig, I would remind you, but this is a like a double slam, a two for one. You know, two in the bush worth one in the what? I don't care. This is the bush. This is Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig. Now,
Greta Gerwig?
If you would recall, Noah Baumbach has given us some great classics such as Noah and the Whale. Sorry.
Squid and the Whale.
No, hold on. Wait. Let me tell you why I made that mistake. There is a band who I also do like called Noah and the Whale.
I find that shocking.
And they actually are called that because they love the squid and the whale. And so their name is kind of an homage to the fact that Noah Baumbach directed it. So that's why I made that mistake. But The Squid and the Whale was fantastic. Noah Baumbach is awesome. While I have to agree with you two on his follow-up, his sophomore attempt with Ben Stiller, yes. Greenberg, okay. I have to admit I did not like that movie at all. It did, however, still have the stylistic sort of feel that I so enjoyed from The Squid and the Whale.
Didn't he do Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III or something like
No. That's
Roman Coppola.
Yes, thank you. Coppola.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't Baumbach have something to do with that though? Pretty sure.
But possibly. He does have another movie called Kicking and Screaming, I believe, which everyone who likes Baumbach seems to love. I've never seen it.
Is that the one with Will Ferrell? Or
no, 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 it's a different movie. It's a different movie.
It's the Will Ferrell movie.
If he directed that Will Ferrell movie...
I know, that would be something, huh?
I mean, never mind. I was going to say something mean, but Douglas loves this guy. So
yes, I do. I absolutely adore him. And for that reason and that reason alone do I love this trailer. Because this trailer is not good. This trailer shows a movie that is so indie that it hurts. You've got the black and white, the horrible camera, the mumblecore sort of feel to the relationship between these two ladies, and Andrew trying to strangle me because apparently he loves this trailer. But Andrew doesn't understand that while I am trying to be objective right now, I love this trailer. I will love this movie. And nobody can change that.
You can't stop them.
So, Damien, what did you think about this?
Just talk to Andrew.
Andrew, what did you think about this?
I want pretend fights. I want to... I don't, there's something about this... Like, I have not liked a Noah Baumbach film yet.
Damn right you don't.
I don't like The Squid and the Whale. I didn't watch Margot at the Wedding, but I'll pretend I didn't like it. I didn't like Greenberg.
Oh, did he direct that one?
He did direct Margot at the Wedding.
I've seen pieces of that movie. That movie's a little odd.
It's a little Noah Baumbach-y, you'd say?
I would say yes.
He seems like the offshoot cousin of Wes Anderson, but just doing something a little bit different than what he does. But something about this trailer, it screams, it feels like Woody Allen Manhattan. And it helps that I've heard nothing but praise for this movie when it played at TIFF. But and I so want to see it. and it helps that I really, really like Greta Gerwig. Even
what
though...
has she been in again?
The first time I saw her, she was in one of the...
The House of the Devil, is that the name of the movie?
Well, that's the one that we reviewed. But we watched her in Bagheads. I watched her in Bagheads, rather.
I just want you to try and explain again why you like this girl.
And
I
loved
whatsoever.
Her. from Bagheads, I thought that...
She was in the...
Everything together.
She was in the... Shit, what the fuck is that movie called with... With Russell Brand, Arthur. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah, she was in Arthur, and I liked her in that movie.
Yeah, and that movie was terrific.
Yes, it was.
Wow, you can't even keep us straight.
That's terrible. I kind of like that movie. That
no,
movie
you don't. Kind of like that movie.
It wasn't bad.
All right, keep telling yourself that and sleep well at night. It was terrible. So yeah.
I just want to have to read this. So, Andrew, Kicking and Screaming, a film by Noah Baumbach. Here is the description. Yes, here is the description on IMDb. Following graduation, a handful of college students do nothing and talk about it wittily. I think that's fantastic.
There's a giant C on the trailer, so on the poster, so Criterion also likes this movie, which means it will be bad.
So Damon is just refusing to talk about this trailer, so we'll just move on to the next one. Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, God, sir. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
There's a kind of merry war betwixt Signor Benedict and her. They never meet, but there's a skirmish of wit between them.
If you three will minister assistance, I will bring Signor Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection.
No, I adore this movie.
Of course you do.
Have you seen it already? Was it
I saw TIFF? This one at TIFF. Hello?
I feel yes, we're still here. You see, the thing is, Andrew, when you talk, we tend to...
It sounded like the audio just went. There's a difference between that. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, I saw this movie at TIFF, and I adored it. This trailer, however, it doesn't look very good. And I think it has to do a lot with the movie itself, because the movie, if no one knows, and if you can't already tell from the trailer, it's a remake of the Shakespeare play. However, Joss Whedon decided to do it over like a weekend or something in his own house with all of these people. So it's set in modern day, and they're doing the exact Shakespearean script speak, and and the thing, it takes a couple minutes for you to get to kind of buy into that visual with the style of narration that's going on throughout the movie. And once those few minutes are over, you kind of just get, you're in the middle of it, and it just becomes as gorgeous as all of those Shakespeare plays are. But yeah, I feel like the trailer just doesn't give you the opportunity to get into that moment of buying into it. Alexis Denisov is great in this movie as the lead. But what did you guys think of the trailer? Are you guys willing to give Joss Whedon a chance after he gave you Cabin in the Woods and Avengers last year?
First off, he didn't give me Cabin in the Woods.
No, stop.
The director of Cabin in the Woods gave me Cabin in the Woods. Please, just because he attaches his name to something doesn't mean that he gave it to us.
That's
just like saying, you know, Quentin Tarantino gave us The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
I'm willing to say that.
He gave us Hellride.
Or he gave us
Hellride. He gave us Old Boy. I'm willing to say that.
He did give us Old Boy. Tarantino's given us a lot.
Yeah, apparently.
But Avengers was more than enough. We all love that movie.
We like that movie. That doesn't mean that I would then go and watch a black and white feature in modern times with, what was it, Andrew? Shakespearean script speak?
Script speak.
Douglas Robinson, I don't know if you've heard, but Joss Whedon is now movie Jesus. I don't know. He's back to save all of us. He'll die for our sins, etc., etc. Remember when we used to laugh at Joss Whedon because all his shit got cancelled?
Yes.
And we even joked that Avengers was going to be cancelled.
Yes.
Because we assumed...
Can I tell you, the DC, the Douglas cut of Avengers...
has three dots at the end.
It doesn't even have a... No. It doesn't get that far. It goes about half an hour in.
Uh-huh.
And then the video just cuts.
Uh-huh.
And up comes a piece of paper saying, sorry guys, we cancelled.
Yeah.
Avengers got cancelled.
Someone rolling tape over something that says cancelled. Nothing to see here.
Assholes.
Alright. Let me explain something to you guys. There was a long time before Avengers. There's a time before Avengers. BA, I like to call it. Where Joss Whedon was only okay. He had a funny thing that he did with Nathan Fillion and his face?
Yeah, NPH.
Dr. Yes, Horrible.
That was good.
He had Firefly, which was... it is not an amazing TV show that the whole world should watch and kill themselves.
Damien, you know that it's not amazing when it's taken me, I think now it's 4 years, and I've only watched like 6 episodes.
Half episode, right.
And yeah.
Right. Now, I enjoy Firefly, but it is nowhere near amazing. And then everything else he did was garbage. Alright.
But Damien, there was Dollhouse.
Yes, there was.
But Damien, there was Buffy.
Yes, there was.
But Damien, there was Angel. Oh, wait. I don't think anybody here agrees. Yeah. Thinks that Angel is good.
You guys are assholes. Right. Assholes.
So, I just like the quick turnaround. Avengers is great. He makes one great movie. And now the world... is now at his beck. He's now headlining everything that Marvel Films is going to do. Whedon has to sign off because Whedon knows best. Joss Whedon can't get me to watch this movie. Right? Let me just make that clear. Joss Whedon's name can't get me to watch anything. The reason I went to watch Avengers is because it was called Avengers. I appreciate
appreciate that Joss Whedon made a good movie out of what could have been a train wreck. But let me be very clear. If anyone directed Avengers, I was going to watch Avengers. Joss Whedon just needs to rein it in. All right, we understand that you're now the best thing to ever happen to movies. But I think you're throwing away all that goodwill all at once. You can't just go from Avengers to making Shakespeare in your backyard. The answer is no. Don't care how much Andrew likes it. Andrew was always going to like it. He always liked Joss Whedon, regardless of what he did. My answer is no. Absolutely not. But nice try, Andrew and Joss Whedon.
Yes, Andrew, I agree. This trailer does not really
right and the trailer
in any way.
And the trailer.
The only what's the word? Light in this dark chasm
like
of
the
trailer is that Fran Kranz is in it, and I do enjoy Fran Kranz. And
Nathan Fillion is in the movie as well.
That is not a plus. Nathan Fillion can go fuck himself.
Nathan Fillion is in that TV show that I've never watched.
Yes.
Me too. I've never seen Castle.
I've seen like half an episode and go, this looks dumb. Nope.
Oh, I haven't even got that far yet. Half an episode. Wow.
Like the girl that is in there, I mean, she looks okay.
Yes, maybe because she's the sister to Zoe.
I should watch this. Yeah.
That's why.
I said, I should watch this. And then I go, no.
Nah.
No, I shouldn't.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that.
Old man just called me up.
He's expecting you.
What?
This is a story of Harry Dean. A long-suffering employee of multi-billionaire Lionel Shavendar.
Have a look at these.
Now he would have his revenge. His plan relied on a fake painting and a real cowgirl.
How would you like to make £500,000?
Yep. Hey, Grandma!
It's so now it's my turn. We have 15 minutes left. Let's get to this. Now, there are actors that we love. And sometimes these actors make poor decisions. Now, we, as movie watchers, need to know when they've made poor decisions and not hold it against them.
Oh, I think I agree with the first part. I'm not too sure about the part after that.
There are three actors in the movie that I picked this week, The Gambit, that I enjoy watching. One of them is not... what's her face? What's her name?
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz is horrendous in this movie. And after watching her in this, I realized why Night and Day was so terrible. And, oh, maybe that wasn't just Tom Cruise. Maybe it's her. Her accent in this is for someone that grew up in America, you'd think she'd be better suited to doing, you know, a southern cowgirl type accent. But not only does she not look the part, because she's, what, 100 pounds? She's not cowgirl in anything. That accent is awful. And it is consistently awful throughout this movie. And she's dreadful in this movie. Having said that, the movie was never going to be good. The Gambit is about this guy who has come up with a plan to steal a painting from his rich, terrible boss. The plan goes, he will convince his boss that this woman, played by Cameron Diaz, has this rare painting in her house, He'll have a fake of the painting. He'll verify it as being real. He'll be paid a lot of money. And he will give Cameron Diaz, his character, some of that money. And hijinks ensues. Stanley Tucci is in there. And he gives one of the best lines I've heard all year. I've been saying it nonstop because I'm an idiot. He says that we must fight the heftiness, which is true. Absolutely true. I need that on a banner somewhere because it's amazing. There are some funny bits in the movie. There's one section where Colin Firth is going from room to room hiding this vase, and people keep seeing him in there, and he just plays it off as if, you know, it's really fun. There's a few good gags, but the movie's bad. And
so
I don't recommend it.
So Damien, I said it in the emails. Alan Cumming
is in there, and he's absolutely
Alan Cumming is not in this movie.
No, not
Alan Rickman.
God, I forgot his name.
Rickman.
Yes.
Cumming. Sorry, Andrew. For some reason, he decided to think he had to take out his headphones and bang them against.
No, because I knew his name.
So that's why he couldn't hear you when you said it.
Yes, Alan Rickman is it, and he's wonderful in everything. He's the real reason I wanted to watch this movie.
He's an actor who makes bad decisions all the while.
Yes, but I enjoy watching him in those movies.
Bad decisions.
Mr. Even if the Potter. Movies are terrible, just looking at his face and
makes you happy.
This man, it really does. It's very sad.
You realize this man was in 8 Harry Potter movies.
I'm
8 of them.
Yes, 12, and I liked him in every single one of them.
As did I. I actually like most of those movies.
Well, I don't like all
I think
of those
more about that movies. Wine movie. Like what was it. The name of that wine movie that he
oh,
was in?
Battle Rock. No, not Battle Rocket, but. Uncorked bottled
something
shark.
Like that.
Bottle Shark. That's the name of it.
That was a bad movie. But
he's in a lot of things.
I said it in the emails when you first sent this out. Is this punishment for me going on about the Lars von Trier movie last week?
No. If I wanted to punish you, I'd pick something legitimately funny and wait for you to say this wasn't that funny, Damien, and then jump on a plane and murder you.
Look,
guys, let me. Whenever I see Alan Rickman, I endeavor to watch the movie. It is very simple. I saw that the movie was out. I remember the trailer. I know the movie wasn't going to be great, but I wanted to see him act again. I don't know. He is one of the few actors that. Even when I know it is bad, even though I know better, I did not expect this movie to be some great movie. I saw that trailer.
Damien, I want to tell you something.
But I'll watch it.
Stanley Tucci was
worthy.
I don't want to hear anything about
it. But the movie's bad.
I don't want to hear anything about these people. Damien,
yes.
I want to tell you something.
Yes, I was ensembled.
I want... Yes, you know you weren't. You were...
Because the movie's bad.
You were Rickman.
Yes.
There is no ensemble in this film. So Damien.
Yes.
I would like to let you know,
mm-hmm.
as Andrew did, in my email to you personally,
yes, I saw.
I told you something. I said to you that I saw when this film came out, and I pat myself on the back for recognizing a movie mm-hmm. with people that I like
mm-hmm.
that I know will not be good. And I moved on, and then you forced me
I
to watch
I could not
this.
Move on, Douglas.
You forced me to
Douglas,
watch this.
I had the same realization you had. I just could not bring myself to not watch this.
Damien, from the word go,
yes.
This movie was bad. This movie starts off with a Blake Edwards type of scenario where you have a cartoon that seeks to, in a humorous way, describe what... The movie is all about.
By the way, has there been a movie since like 1995 that's had that and been good?
No, even once in 95. We're, you can't do that. That is a thing that we don't do anymore.
There was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I believe that was sometime in the 90s. I love that movie. Don't tell me anything otherwise.
Why would you say anything else?
But no, Damien, this movie is bad. This movie just goes... It's not even a one. It's a negative one. No. I can't believe that you would make me watch a movie with Cameron Diaz. I can't believe.
You're welcome, Douglas.
How she's bad so this beautiful movie is. Damien, did you know that Joel and Ethan Coen wrote this movie?
I did not know that. Not until this evening. And it pains me to know that.
It pains me to know this. Because
inside Llewyn Davis is coming out. And I don't like to see blemishes on what I thought were perfect people.
Look, guys, we can just decide to make this into a Bill Murray Cohen story and think of it only in that way.
Okay, let's do that. Friend, please.
But we'll all forget this movie in a matter of days. I'm already forgetting, like,
but Damien, this movie was Damien, about. let me just
at some point.
So I kind of had hope for this movie. For the first like after the intro happened and I was like, oh shit, I'm screwed. Then the actual movie started, and if you remember, for the first like I think it's 10 minutes of the movie, it's been kind of crazy and it's already looking like it's going to be bad. I had a little hope because I recognized that they didn't allow Cameron Diaz to talk. For the whole of that sequence,
day, like 2 days ago, to tone this down,
and that was, I was like, the guy knew what he was doing. He knew which part was the weakest part of his movie, and he fixed it. You know,
and then
they came back and they unfixed it, and I went, holy shit!
Why were Japanese people in this movie at any point? Why?
Well. The end reveal.
Fine. I understand that they set it up so that in the end you could go, I see what they did. But it was still unnecessary.
You know what's funny too? You know what's funny? I have the strongest belief that if the Coen brothers actually directed this movie, it would be good.
It would be better.
No, it would be good.
Mm-mm. Do you think it would be as good as Intolerable Cruelty?
That's what I was about to say, because I have to ask that question slowly, because a lot of people don't actually like
it. I love that movie.
So I have to ask Damien, do you like Intolerable Cruelty?
Intolerable Cruelty is which one?
It's George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
It's okay.
Okay.
The Massey prenup.
Because I think Massey, not Mancy.
I said Massey.
Oh, okay.
No one cares.
I think that this movie could have been another Intolerable Cruelty or perhaps another Hudsucker Proxy, but no.
But that's lesser Coen.
No, it's not. Hudsucker
Proxy.
Intolerable
Cruelty is lesser Coen.
All right, Intolerable.
I'll go there.
But Hudsucker Proxy is.
I still haven't.
That movie is fantastically bizarre.
By the way,
the first it was my
I'm still
entrance
afraid of that movie.
To the Coen Brothers. It was my first Coen Brother movie that I at least knowingly watched, and even then I didn't knowingly watch it as a Coen Brother movie. I just knowingly watched it as this movie looks bizarre and outlandish, and please let me watch it. And that not only made me love the Coen Brothers, but it also drives the love that I still have for Tim Robbins.
On a side note, since we're bringing up lesser Coens, do we all agree that A Serious Man isn't good?
I'm sorry, what now? A who, what now?
A Serious Man.
Is that a question that he's asking? Like a serious question? Are you fucking crazy, son? No, we do not agree that.
Damn!
No. A Serious Man is greater Coen. What are you talking about? Did you watch that movie? Like all of that movie?
Yes, I did.
Oh, come on, son.
I've only seen it the once.
You guys are crazy people.
Are you supposed to be the Coen Brothers fan, Douglas? Are you supposed to be the
Coen
Brothers?
There are some Coen Brothers movies that I haven't watched, though. I've watched the first 15 minutes of A Serious Man. I haven't watched the whole thing.
I love that movie.
Let me tell you what I haven't seen.
I love the ending of that movie.
I haven't seen, I think it's called The Man From Nowhere, which stars Billy Bob. What else haven't I seen?
I have seen.
That's a Coen Brother movie that I haven't seen. I haven't watched. Oh, I haven't watched Miller's Crossing, which I actually own
for
and
Christ
should watch,
sake, guys.
So next week's review.
How is it that I've ended up watching more Coen than both of you?
I think those are, I do believe that those are the only two, other than, let's say, the new one that's coming out, but that doesn't really count.
No, really? You haven't seen that one?
I don't think I
have. You didn't send your advanced copy?
I think those are the only
two. Alright, Douglas, watched. Douglas, you put me to shame. I haven't seen Inside Llewyn Davis either.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't send me my advanced copy either. Sons of bitches.
Are we done talking about Gambit, by the way? The movie's terrible.
We've been done for a long time. I want to continue this Coen Brothers talk. Andrew Robinson, although you've only seen it the one time, I need you to, as best you can, keep your logic out of it. Explain why you don't like that movie.
It's all right. This is going to be really bad because I don't think I remember that much because it's only from the year it came out, which was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago? I think you, I thought it was 09 or
a little longer than that. It came out the same year as A Single Man.
2010
with Colin Firth.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, thanks.
I think we were making that joke for a long while,
and we will still make that joke.
It was 2009, according to IMDb.
Wow,
so that's 4 years.
Old.
This podcast is old.
I'm an old,
we were doing
old
a,
man.
We were doing this podcast when this movie
Douglas,
came out.
Douglas, we started podcasting in the late 09. 1900s.
Wow. I'm going to just go, I don't remember exactly why. I remember it being like an extended version of the trailer where it was just a lot of visual things that didn't quite make sense to me all the while, and I just felt like I didn't get it more than anything else, and that's why I ended up not liking it.
Shit,
did you like Burn After Reading?
I didn't like Burn After Reading, but at least that, at least with Burn After Reading there were points where I'm like, I get the joke there and I enjoyed it. I mean, even characters like Brad Pitt in that movie, I'm like, yeah, I get he's funny, and George Clooney, I get that. But with A Serious Man, I didn't get it at all.
Have you watched Barton Fink?
I have seen Barton Fink.
What did you guys think of that? Greater Coen or lesser Coen?
It was a long time ago, but I enjoyed it.
Mm. I liked it a lot.
All right. I mean, we're kind of out of time, and I probably shouldn't say this because this is going to be recorded and put on the internet. And Andrew and Douglas will probably kill me. But I do not like The Big Lebowski.
Fuck you!
I'm pretty sure I've said that.
The
at
Big
some
Lebowski
point.
Is so fantastic.
Okay, so
let me tell you how you solve this problem. Yeah. Because
you watch it five more times.
You watch it again and again until I get it. On a serious note, mm-hmm. The Big Lebowski is one of those movies where it's so dense, it has so much about it that you can never catch everything the first time. I won't say that I didn't like it the first time I watched it, but I was definitely not this hardcore fan that I am today about it the first time.
And that is how I feel. Like, I don't think it's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, it isn't. But I don't know what happened after most people watched this movie, because most of their other movies, people love this movie. Like, there's entire movie festivals,
yes,
and shit.
Yes.
There's shit that people do around this movie because of this movie. And I saw the movie maybe 4 years ago. I don't remember, but it's been a long time since I saw it again. And even then I went, I don't see it. Where is all the love for this? Like, I understand the funny suits. I understand the terrible bowling. I understand why a lot of the things are funny. The fanaticism that surrounds this movie, it is scary, because guys need to calm down. And I don't see it.
I like Damian saying that while he goes out and dresses as Batman. But, you know, That's just me.
Yeah, I should dress like Batman.
I agree with you, Damien, though. I'm not a big fan of The Lebowski. It's one of those movies where, just like with Burn After Reading, I can see
Hello?
The jokes.
Andrew?
And I understand them. I just don't find myself laughing.
I can't
laughing.
Hear him anymore.
Right? You're going
that,
to
that connection is going, it's going badly.
The ones and
what?
Zeros are degrees.
I'm saying The Lebowski is bad.
What? He's... What? Oh!
Oh no!
Oh no, Andrew! What happened to you?
I know.
Oh no, Andrew! Where'd you go? Oh my goodness! So, Damien, as we complete the podcast,
thank you for listening to this podcast. And good night.
Are you kidding me?
So this has been the Odd Name Movie Podcast.
Wow, guys.
As
Damien been
adult,
shot?
As the only adult in this conversation, I would like to thank you for listening to this tomfoolery.
I know you guys can't hear this in the recording, but they just hung up on me.
For as long as you have tolerated us, you can find Andrew's writing on his website, Gman Reviews. You can find all of us on Twitter. This child sitting beside me is DJ. I lost his name.
He's a
the
sad,
one
sad man.
Through the magic of the internet, is that Gman Reviews? And I am at Damien_White. Thanks for listening and good night. You guys are children. I wish you could swim. Like dolphins can swim. Though nothing, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Anyways, let's continue. He's off the phone now, right?
Yes, he is. That was my mother. So, yeah, you guys rank lower than my mother. Don't
That's
you
fine.
Know, Damien? It's podcast, mm-hmm. God, country.
I'm sorry, country? country.
Oh, so he's speaking trailers.
Got wild there. Philly said country. Do you know what country we're in?
I didn't necessarily mean this country.
Oh. Okay.
You know what I find
like
odd?
Music, like
I've been in
music.
Trinidad this long, and I don't think I've heard their national anthem once. I've been to sporting events, and I haven't.
There's so many jokes.
Hold on.
There are.
I mean.
So many jokes.
I know this is going to sound extremely bad, but isn't it just another soca song?
Alright. That was one joke.
Wasn't it penned by like Michelle Montano or something? What? Like,
based on my office, I'd assume so.
I mean, like, I don't even know where to begin with the jokes. Just, I mean,
I gave you a starting point.
Yeah, but
you know, move from there.
There's just billions of them. Just billions. I can't bother.